Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read the following. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, so often when I've had the opportunity to preach this verse of Scripture, it's been in the context of the gospel. And it is near the end of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we tell sinners who are not saved that they can receive the Lord Jesus Christ by believing on his name, and they can become sons of God. And in fact, that's what the context is, because John chapter 1, verse 13 goes on to say, which were born, see, the new birth, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we're talking about somebody who becomes a child of God by being born again. Now, when we receive Jesus Christ, this verse, John chapter 1, verse 12, says that God gives us power to become the sons of God. And you know something? Until recently, I haven't considered what Jesus meant when he said, gave he power to become the sons of God. I didn't understand what John was writing here, what God wanted us to know. Didn't even think about it, because I've always thought of it in the context of being born again, and it's certainly in that context. I mean, after all, when you get saved, you are a child of God. So why would he say that he gives us power to become the sons of God? And I believe the reason that he says that is that practically speaking, a true child of God is not just born again, practically speaking. A true child of God is five things. The first thing is a true child of God is submitted. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and read with me verse 50. We'll pick up verse 47 for the context. I realize we're talking before the cross, but listen now, practically speaking, Matthew chapter 12, verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Watch it, verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Whoa, wait a minute. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You see, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, because that's God's child through Mary. We are sons of God by the new birth. Therefore, doctrinally speaking, we are brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In other words, the ones he claims as brothers and sisters are the ones who do the will of his Father. Well, you know him and I know him and we've done it. There are far too many Christians who do not do the will of God. They're not even concerned about the will of God. And that's a distinction. You see, that's why we say A true child of God is a child who is submitted. He is under the authority of God. He does the will of God. You got a fellow over here and you talk to him. He has no demonstration. There's nothing in him that would indicate to you he's a child of God. And then you start talking about this relationship with the Lord. He said, yeah, I did that. I was born again, 30 years ago. Okay, he's born again. But is he a true child of God in the sense that he is doing the will of his Father? I don't think so. I don't think so. Turn to First John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, I know we're in a doctrinally difficult passage. Let's just deal with the spiritual milk in the context of our conversation today, okay? In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, John says that you can tell the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil by who does righteousness and who doesn't do righteousness. In other words, don't get stuck in some deep doctrinal difficulties here. Just look, practically speaking, in the context of our discussion about children of God, at what he's saying. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Well, you can't do righteousness unless you have righteousness in you. He's not talking about the righteousness of the Pharisees. He's talking about the imputed righteousness of God that you and I have when we're saved. So here's a man that has that righteousness, and now he is doing the righteousness that's in him. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doesn't commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now truly, our new man inside of us can't sin. He's a child of God by the new birth. The soul is separated by the spiritual circumcision from the body of the sins of the flesh, and you've really got two things at work there. You've got this new man, you got this old man, and that new man that's born of God, he doesn't sin. But that flesh, oh man, that carnal man, oh, that's a different story. But when you're a true child of God, you know what happens? Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest. Here we go. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So here you have a situation where we're trying to realize and recognize that God said when you get saved, he gives you the power to become the sons of God. And it's not just, in other words, he's not just interested in seeing a baby born and then just thrown off on the side of the road waiting for the rapture 30 years later that remains an uncared for, ungrowing child from the date of its birth until the date of its rapture, and there's no spiritual change in the child at all. No, he's looking for a true child of God, and a true child of God is submitted. He is obedient to God. He is obedient to his Father. So you must obey the Father if you want to be a true child of God. I mean, think about it. Your own natural children grow. Something would be terribly wrong if the baby is born and 18 years later, the baby is still an infant in a diaper nursing. Something's wrong with that. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Something's wrong with this baby. And something's wrong with a Christian who doesn't grow. And what's wrong is, practically speaking, he's not a true child of God. He's not submitted to his Father. Let's look at it again. Not trying to provide you with any confusion. I'm trying to give you something practical to help you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another example. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verses 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 14 to 18. Practically speaking, a true child of God is submitted, that is, he obeys his Father. Jesus Christ said, these are my brothers and sisters, whosoever shall do the will of my Father. All right, submitted. Secondly, he's separated. Now look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now watch it. Verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, watch it, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What? I thought we were already children of God. We are when we get saved, but look what he says. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. When? When you come out from among them and you're separate. Wow. Practically speaking, then, a true child of God is separated. Now, we must stress so that we don't get into a doctrinal quagmire here. A person who is born again is doctrinally a child of God. He's in Jesus. But practically speaking, the Lord says that he doesn't consider Christians sons and daughters until they come out from among them and are separate. Righteousness can't have fellowship with unrighteousness. Light can't have communion with darkness. Christ has no concord with Belial. And believers have no part with infidels. That's what the passage says. We are the temple of God, and we are to be separate. We are, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, look at verses 8 through 12. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we are to reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There are Christians today who are not walking as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, not unto your friends, but unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Wow. Wow. Just not a lot of Christians. I mean, there may be, but there are an awful lot of Christians today who are not separated. They're not separated. They're in the world and of the world. And our Bible, your Bible, my Bible, says that you and I must separate ourselves to the Lord if we want to be a true child of God. Separate from unrighteousness, separate from darkness, separate from the devil, separate from infidels. We're the temple of God. We're the temple of God. The reason that John says he gave us power to become the sons of God is that our growth as a child of God is not automatic just because we're born again. We got to be submitted. That's what a child of God does. He does the will of his Father. We've got to be separated. That's what a son or a daughter of God does. He comes out from among them. In other words, you had worldly ways and worldly places and worldly thoughts and worldly ambitions and worldly associations, and you get saved, and the Lord says, now you need to walk away from that. Somebody said, well, I'm having a hard time breaking off these worldly associations. Preach the gospel, and they'll break them off for you, or they'll become one of you. Okay? It's easy. It's easy. So the reason, practically speaking, then, that we have the power to become sons of God is that a true child of God is submitted, he's separated, and then thirdly, he's sanctified. He's sanctified. 1 John chapter 3, we've been there, but let's look at the first three verses. 1 John chapter 3, and look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because we are the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. In other words, we take the same place as Jesus Christ as it concerns the world. See that separation? Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. P-U-R-E, pure. A true son of God purifies himself, even as Jesus is pure. That's sanctification. A preacher once said that salvation is the miracle of the moment, and sanctification is a process of the lifetime. And truly, we are in the process of sanctification from the time that we get saved until the time we die or we go to heaven by the rapture. You should constantly be getting cleaner, purer, and more sanctified, more consecrated in your relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with the world is supposed to be like Jesus's relationship with the world was. And today, far too many Christians are more like the world than they are like the Lord. I mean, seriously, it's hard today to point out who a real child of God is. You look at the bumper and it has the fish on it, and he's acting like and doing things just like the rest of the world. And you're like, what is this? And what it is that they're not sanctified, or they've only been sanctified a little bit. You know, maybe they don't do one thing that they used to do and everything else is still the same. You see, the process of sanctification is something that takes the rest of your life and can be only accomplished one way. It's accomplished as you immerse yourself in God's words. What does 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 say? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, you're not going to grow into sonship. You're not going to become the son of God unless you appropriate the power to become the son of God. And the power is in the word of God. You live by the words of God. You desire the sincere milk of the word like a newborn babe, and that causes you to grow. And as you grow, you clean up. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When Jesus Christ was showing his disciples that he was the true vine and they were the branches, he said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sanctify, a true child of God is a child that is sanctified. In other words, in your life, you grow up and you become more and more like Jesus Christ and less like the world. I mean, if you're a real child of God, otherwise you can just say like other people have said, oh, I did that. You born again? Yeah, I did that. Really? It's hard to tell. You don't look like his child. You don't act like his child. You don't talk like his child. What's the matter with you? Well, I know what the matter is. You got born again, and that's where you dropped it, right there. And a true child of God is sanctified. He'll grow, he'll be purified, and he'll look a lot more like Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Spirit of God to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. But let's keep going. The reason, practically speaking, that God says he gave us power to become the sons of God is that a true child of God is submitted, he's separated, he's sanctified, and watch it, he is Spirit-led. Read a passage with me over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. You've seen it before. We've quoted it many times before. Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 14. Now, look at it very carefully in the context of our study today. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now, who are the sons of God? I'll tell you who they are. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Well, then, if you're not being led by the Spirit of God, can you really call yourself a true child of God? The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And if you're not being led by the Spirit of God, are you a true child of God? See how the verse is worded? I can remember too vividly a period in my early years as a Christian that I was not even remotely following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. And after my come to Jesus meeting, when I yielded my life to the Lord at 32 years of age, the change in my life was so drastic that I've often believed I wasn't even saved until then. I mean, if I give you my testimony, I can tell you at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting, following the meeting, I heard the gospel preached. I knelt in the parking lot. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there's some little bit of evidence of that salvation, but it wasn't until 17 years later when I met up with the Lord one night in September of 1986 in the Bible. And I mean, I yielded my life to the Lord. And that change that took place then, that has continued even until this very day, has been so drastic, even early on so drastic, that I often believed, I look back and I say that I could not have been saved when I was 50. Couldn't have been. No, look at the difference. What was I thinking? You know what the difference was? In one case, you know, if God's true to his word, I was born again. And I never passed that first day of infancy. I was just a helpless, cast aside baby. And I mean, I was attacked by the vultures of the world and nearly destroyed. But when I said, okay, look, to Lord, we're not going my way. We're going your way. And I yielded my life to the leadership of the Spirit of God. What a change. Now, you know what I became? I started getting nourishment. I became a growing child of God. I want to say something. The difference between being a Spirit-led Christian and a carnal Christian is about like the difference between being saved and lost. That's how big it is. It's that big. So if you're born again and that's all you've done, let me just tell you right now, you've got the power to become the Son of God, but practically speaking, you're not really a true child of God until you're Spirit-led. So yield your life to the leadership of the Spirit of God. Submit yourself to your Father God, do His will, separate from the world, and purify yourself in the words of God. And I'll give you one more. John says that God gave us power to become the sons of God after we get saved. And the reason, practically speaking, is that a true child of God is scourged. It's scourged. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verses 5 through 11. And I won't read it all. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, watch it, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Oh, it goes on down to verse 11, but do you not see? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I mean, did you hear from the Word of God what God calls those who are without chastisement? He calls them bastards and not sons. Hebrews 12:8. Well, you know what a bastard is? A bastard is an illegitimate child. Wow. There's really something to what you're hearing today. It's a practical message. It's a spiritual message, but there's some real doctrinal truth to this. You just run around telling people, yeah, bless God, I got saved when I was a youth camp. And now you're 35 years old and you hadn't grown 5 minutes. You know what the problem is? You have not appropriated the power that you were given when you got saved to become the Son of God. The first time God pulled out his belt and straightened you out on something you needed straightened out on, you got upset with him about that thing. You don't love chastening. You don't love the Lord who chastens. You can't stand that chastising, and you despised it. You despised the chastening of the Lord, and you fainted when you were rebuked of him. And there you are, stuck as an illegitimate child. Now, why does he do that? Why does he chasten us? He chastens us for our good, that we may be, verse 10 says, partakers of his holiness. That we might bear, verse 11 says, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I mean, God wants us to be holy. He wants us to bear the fruit of righteousness. He wants us to grow up well as his children. And he loves us enough to take the belt to us when we need it, which is through our lives. But you know what will happen when you can't stand it? The Lord will just back off of chastening you when he sees that it's not doing any good. If you're hard-hearted and stiff-necked and determined that you're just going to go out and have your way and not God's way, he's not going to keep beating on you. Isaiah 1:5 says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. The Lord said, I'm not going to keep beating on you. You're just getting worse. You're just getting worse. See, you're not responding as a son. Well, a true child of God endures the chastening of our loving Father. So, look, you need to go on from just being born again. You need to go on to becoming a son of God by the power of God, by following these things. Submit to God, separate from the world, be sanctified by the Word of God. Follow the leadership of the Spirit of God and endure that scourging and chastening of the Lord as he perfects you in his holiness. And may God bless you as a son of God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.